Matthew chapter 22, we're gonna look at a passage here, verses 34 through 40. And what an interesting passage of scripture. Verse 34, says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced," he is Jesus, "when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again." So what you had going on was you had these different religious leaders of the day trying to, they kept trying to trick Jesus and trap him, which we'll see in the next verse. Verse 35 says, "One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?'" So he's trying to trap Jesus, but I happen to think that's a really good question. What's the most important? Now, he wasn't coming with the right heart. He was coming with the heart and the attitude of, "I'm trying to trick you and trap you so that I can use it against you." But anyway, regardless, we still get to find out what the answer is. And that's beneficial to us. "Teacher, which is the most important commandment?" And so in reality here, we have to be careful as believers that we don't say, you know what, the Old Testament we don't need. We're just in the New Testament era. We need to be careful about that, because really Jesus didn't really proclaim that. He was saying, okay, yeah, let's look at the Old Testament law. What is the important thing? So I think that's probably why he went ahead and answered this trick question. "Which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Verse 37, Jesus replied. Many of you, if not all of you, have heard this before. But he replied and said, "You must," that's where I'm going to stop for a minute. "You must," or some versions say "you shall," which sounds like Exodus, doesn't it? And the Ten Commandments. You shall do this or not do this. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart." You know you don't go wrong when you love. You won't go wrong when you choose to love. "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart." Now what is heart? What is the heart there? That word, what does that allude to? What does that refer to? It refers to your affection, your love for the Lord in sincerity. So in other words, and I've talked to many people over the years, and some will, when I will ask them, "Have you given Jesus your heart?" I'm not lying. I am not exaggerating. This has been the response multiple times when I ask the question I just asked. When I talk to somebody, whether I work with them or I just met them, "Have you given Jesus your heart? Are you living for Christ?" The answer is, some of the time, and many times over my experience, "Yeah, I go to church." Okay, if you're living for Jesus, I think that you should be going to church. But do you see the difference? It's a relationship, and I think that the church can be instrumental in that, but also it's all about Jesus. And so do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart? Do you love him with sincerity of heart? I'm not fibbing when I say I love Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? Is there truth to that? Or is there holes all in it? I didn't say you said you were perfect. I said, do you love him? Are you pursuing him with all that you have? Or is it, oh yeah, I go to church on Easter and Christmas. And I know who I'm talking to this morning, because it's not Easter or Christmas. But it still is worth repeating. that Jesus goes ahead and answers this question, even though it was a trap. And I love his answer. And it is, hey, don't forget, y'all have to love the Lord your God with all your heart. We have to love him with all that we are. And another way to put that is to love him with an undivided heart. Or let's look at it like this, with a heart that is only after him and not everything else. See, because you can't follow Jesus. You can't in reality say, I'm serving Jesus with all of my heart when you've just added Jesus to everything else that you do in your life. Really, he becomes your life. And if not, you need to evaluate yourself. You need to evaluate your relationship with him or the lack thereof. Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the commandment that has the most importance? Which is the commandment that I need to really pay attention to? And that's not really the attitude that they pose the question with. But still, we can look at it and say, okay, yeah, Jesus gave a great answer here. You must love the Lord your God. The most important thing is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart. But he doesn't stop there. There's a comma. It says, and all your soul. What is your soul? Well, this would have to do with our energy, and not like spiritual energy. I'm just saying our energy, our strength, our might and or intensity. I kind of like that. I think that there should be a fervency to serving the Lord, an excitement about serving him and worshiping him. Because I'm not the guy. When it's time to praise Jesus, I'm not the guy very often that goes like this. Mm-hmm. My hands don't usually stay in my pockets very long. You might look and you might see me up here do that at times, but generally, come on, Jesus, that kind of a thing. So I like to get with it, is what I'm trying to say. And I think that somebody who's in love with Jesus and who loves him with all their heart and with all their soul is going to do those types of things. Okay? I'm not saying you have to be me. I don't want you to be me. The world's not big enough. Okay? Let you be you, while at the same time worship him with that fervency, worship him with all of your heart, worship him, serve him, and love him with everything that you have. Give him everything. Worship him, serve him, love him with all your heart and all your soul. And all your mind, Jesus includes. He makes sure to include that. Raise your hand if you have a mind. Every hand should be up. I'm disappointed in a few of you. Okay, here's the deal. God gave you a mind. You should use it. If you're listening online, on Facebook, you need to use the mind that God gave you. Absolutely. But also worship him and love him with your mind. Here's a problem. We're talking about the intellect. There seems to be some kind of disconnect with those who are very educated. And of course, you can tell me names. I'm thinking of a couple right now who are very intelligent people. They have not disconnected faith from their mind. But a lot of times, that's what happens. Don't get so smart that you forget the most important thing. You can gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul. No, there's no point. Serve Jesus with all your mind. Love Jesus with all of your mind. You know what? In that disconnect, it's about this distance, isn't it? From our mind to our heart. And the problem is sometimes, and sometimes our faith is only up here. Sometimes our faith is only up here in our mind. It needs to be there, but let it sink down in into our heart of hearts as well. And then we believe. Then we believe God's words in faith. And we say, God, I trust you completely to do what you say you'll do. Sometimes just the head knowledge isn't quite enough. It's got to be part of who you are. Okay? So let that come and settle down into the heart of hearts. Let your mind follow your heart, or let your heart guide the way. Sometimes we, you know, the disciples did it too. They said, you know, Thomas, he gets a bad rap, poor guy, because he was into the Lord, but he gets a bad rap because he said, you know, when Jesus showed up after his resurrection, and Thomas says he wasn't there when Jesus showed up to the other disciples, and he was struggling with that. Well, I won't believe unless I see the nail scars in his hands and in his side. But you know what? It's not just seeing is believing. It's not just seeing. We believe, and then therefore we will see. I'm going to just let it sink in for a second. You know, I'm not asking for an amen. I'm just simply letting that one soak in. Sometimes you just have to believe him, and then you're going to see it. Because if we're always looking for seeing first, then it doesn't always take any faith. There's a good life lesson for us as believers right there, just to believe God. If he said it in his word, you can take that and you can stand on that. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is the primary commandment. This is the fundamental commandment. I have to love him first and foremost. What did Jesus say whenever his mom and a few of his siblings came after him? His disciples came and said, "Hey Jesus, your mom and your brothers are here. They want to talk to you." And Jesus turned right around to the crowd that he was at and says, "Who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters?" So what he was trying to say was, really in essence, it's not who. And I'm not saying, and Jesus wasn't saying that family wasn't important. What he was saying was the most important thing is right here, is that you love God with all that you have. And that's why many of us have the attitude that, you know what, whatever money we have is God's. Whatever thing that we own is God's. We are really not owners, we're only stewards. And that's the same attitude that says, I've given him everything, all of me, so everything that I have is his anyway. Right? So, I came across this, and it said, you must love the Lord your God with all your power. That is, with a sincere, a fervent, an intellect, and an energetic love. I thought that was good. I'll say it again just because there's a lot to take in there. You must love the Lord your God with all of your power. That is, with a sincere, a fervent, an intelligent, and energetic love. I guess this is my mindset. I want to follow. I'm not following you if I'm not convinced that you're into it. Oh, yeah, hey, yeah, you should follow me to church. It's really great. Pass. See you next time. You hear what I'm saying? You should worship Jesus like I should worship Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, what are we doing here again? I want to follow somebody who's sold out, somebody who's into it, who's into Jesus and shows it. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I try to do. I love him with all the energy and everything that I have with my mind. Sometimes you have to tell your mind to shut up. Some of you heard me say that before. Sometimes you just have to say shut up to yourself. Because your mind goes a-wandering. And it goes, and then this, and then this, and then this. Shut up! And then you need to get some scriptures in there. Remind yourself of some scriptures. Or open up the Word of God. Or call somebody and say, hey, pray with me. Help me. I need something to back up. My brain's going crazy. It's okay to call for help. But call in backup. You see, as we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, I was reminded, Psalm 16, verse 15, it won't be on the screen, says, Lord, you alone are my portion. God is our portion. Our portion in the land of the living. God is our portion in this life. It's not about things. It's not about anything like that. He is our portion, and we must love him with everything that we have. And God said to Abraham, I am your shield, your very great reward. Doesn't that kind of show us that it's about God, that it's all about him, and that we ought to be living for him? And I know that some of you have to go to school and some of you have jobs, and those things are let's use the word more secular than seeking the Lord all day or something like that, or doing ministry. It's okay, but it doesn't mean that you have to deviate from it. Let your mind and your heart and your strength be there. Paul said, whatever you find to do, do it as unto the Lord. Serve the Lord in doing whatever you're doing, in your job. Work in such a way that other people can't look and say, But instead, work in such a way that they look and say, wow, they're really into this. And then it might give you an they may listen to you when it comes to your faith. What a privilege that would be, right? Praise the Lord. Verse 39. He talked about the primary greatest commandment. Verse 39, Jesus said, a second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look around the room. See some neighbors? And somebody's thinking, oh, but that you don't say neighbor because that neighbor's dog or whatever. We had a fight over neighbor about a tree or I don't know. Who knows? The list could go on and on. But Jesus said, listen, you can't refute this. Love your neighbor as yourself. We know that Jesus brought this up another time when somebody says, Jesus, well, who's my neighbor? Yeah, really, it's everybody. It really is. That's what it boils down to. Everybody's our neighbor. Let's love people. Love one another in the room. Are we always going to agree with each other? Is that okay? Yeah. Let's still choose to love each other. We're still going to love each other. And really, there's all different kinds of ways of thinking out there, aren't there? So when we overlook, we choose to love. When we show grace, we love. You know what? Maybe the Lord would have you bake some cookies for that neighbor that you have problems with. Look for ways to reconcile relationships. Look for ways to love. And I know that's not a shouting point, okay? I get it. Because sometimes it's tough, isn't it? But listen, church, there's no excuse. Jesus said it. And we have to do it. I'm not letting you off the hook because he's not letting you off the hook. Or me. So, have we messed up here and there? Probably so. Maybe there's ways that we can improve and grow. I would imagine. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to love each other. Well, you know, but Pastor so-and-so, we just can't ever agree. Still, you have to love them. Don't you love yourself? Don't you feed yourself? Don't you get rest at night? Don't you occasionally buy things for yourself? Yeah. Maybe some of the time buy something for somebody else. Be a blessing. Show love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And look, it goes. Jesus goes on. Obviously, he gives first and then the second, the two most important commandments. Let me remind you, those are not the two most important suggestions. You know, if you want to, you just love the Lord some with a little bit of what you got. And then, you know, every couple years, love somebody. That's not what he said. But look at what he goes on to say in verse 40. The entire law, the whole book of the law, and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. It all hinges on these two things. How you deal with God vertically and how you deal with others horizontally. When we don't do well in either one of them, we're not honoring God like we should. Oh, Pastor, you're stepping on my toes. That's not my aim. My aim for you is to forget about your toes. But you know what? I tell my kids, your rear is connected to your brain. When you get swatted, your rear says to your brain, that hurts. Let's not do whatever caused that to happen again. So, we got to learn and we got to grow from it. So the goal would be not to sit and waller in, well, I haven't been doing a good job in that. But the goal would be a motivation, encouragement to say, okay, you know what? I think I can do better. And Lord, help me to do that. Help me to grow. Help me to love you more wholeheartedly. Help me also to love others so that I can be more like you. Does that sound like a good plan? I would imagine each and every one of us can be challenged and apply this message to our lives. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. You want to put that very next slide up? Yeah. Our president, our leader, the leader of our nation has asked for us to pray today. Okay, so we just went over the two primary, greatest, most important commandments, love the Lord our God. So we're going to seek him in this time, and we're going to seek him on behalf of our neighbors. Okay, love the Lord our God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If you were sick today, wouldn't you love it if somebody would pray for you? All right. So here's what we're going to do. Larry, Judy, could you think of a song or two to play as we get ready to? I'm going to invite you. You're welcome to come up to the front. You're welcome to kind of just do it wherever you are, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray on behalf of our nation and our world. There's people all over the world that are sick, okay? I don't know the reality of this disease. What I do know is the reality that Jesus reigns and rules over coronavirus, the flu, cancer, any of them. Okay? Here's another prayer request. Do not forget. Let's believe God this morning to... I'm going to use the word eradicate this disease. In the name of Jesus. Okay? So we're going to be praying for people who are affected, who are sick, for even families who have died from it, to others who are currently sick, to those who might be carrying it, and to those who of us who are oblivious. That when we do shake hands, when we do touch something that an infected person touches, it won't harm us at all. Okay? I'm also going to ask this. Our friend and faithful sister, Connie Antwiler, passed away this morning. I was privileged to go and be with the family for a few minutes this morning before service. They're doing okay. But as you could imagine, and as some of you know, that's still tough. So will you please lift them up? Love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for Charles, their son Charles, and his wife Callista, kids and grandkids. Sherry, that's why she's not here right now. She's with the family and has been for these last few weeks. And so that my heart is heavy with that, but at the same time, I'm excited. Larry, when I first went to see her, the day she found out, I went to be with her in the hospital. And I bent down there, but she was in the bed, and she put her hand on my hands and says, "I might get to go see Jesus." I said, "You tell him." I said, "Hey." And I was there Tuesday. She didn't say one word until I was ready to leave. And as I was saying goodbyes, right by the door, she says, "I love you." To me. Just precious. And we know that it's tough. Yeah, we lose her, but we don't. As Daniel Yoder said, we know where she's at. She's not lost. Connie was a woman of faith, and so I rejoice in that. And so remember them, and let's pray. We're going to seek heaven for a few minutes. Listen, if this song they're doing, and it's you're connecting with that song, then you worship Jesus as well. Okay, you can go from that to prayers and back and forth, okay? However you like to do it. We're going to pray for the Antwiler family, and we're going to pray for this coronavirus to be eradicated in Jesus' name. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah.
She knows how it feels. Right now. She knows how it feels. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Let's pray. Some of you need to come up to the front.